most of our staff, it's either their first job out of school or they're relatively young in their careers. Good coaching matters. It plays a big difference in the performance of the group.
The sports industry. I've always believed that the power of sports is not just one that can bring people together, but it's a breeding ground for so much future business talent. So many young people that come out of a sports management degree go right into a career in sports. Our next guest, Brendan Long, knows a ton about the sports industry. Not only is Brendan currently the vice president of sales for Madison Square Garden, you might have heard of them, world's most famous arena. On his rise to VP of sales, Brendan's been all over the sports industry. Golden State Warriors, San Francisco 49ers, and even led sales for legends for Super Bowl 49. Full disclosure, Brendan's a friend. Thought it'd be cool to talk to Brendan a little bit about the future of work from the sports industry. Not only has he and his team fought through the impacts most recently from COVID, Brendan leads a sales force that has to be dynamic, prepared, and is selling in arguably the biggest city in the world, New York. So with that, no further ado, let's bring it in.
And what do you do with the Garden now?
So with the Garden now, by title, VP of sales for MSG Sports. And so our sales team really focuses on season memberships and any membership product for the Knicks and the Rangers and some of our premium products for single event suites for concerts and everything else that comes into the building. So we have our hands full.
What's the coolest thing about working at the world's most famous arena?
There's so many things. I think to me, the thing that I love most about the Garden is the scale of everything that we do, right? We always get the best shows. We have an amazing crowd every night, regardless of what's happening on the court or the ice. And the networking that happens, the interactions with top tier businesses that go on in the building, and the excitement that we see on the fans on a day-to-day basis, there's nothing like the Garden.
Like, what have you learned about your own coaching philosophy?
Yeah, so I think if we take a step back and look at the staff that we have, right? Most of our staff, it's either their first job out of school or they're relatively young in their careers. And so coaching to us really is a critical component to it. Like any sports team, good coaching matters. It plays a big difference in the performance of the group. So we think about coaching as an ongoing thing, right? So it's not just I'm coaching you sometimes. There's teachable moments all the time throughout the day. So being in a specific moment, a scenario comes up and it's like, hey, okay, what would you do in this situation? What do you think is going to be the best approach? And really collaborating with our staff on how they can see a situation, read it, interpret it, and then the next time they face that situation, they're better prepared for it. So we think about coaching as essential, and it's something that you constantly do, and there's so many scenarios day in and day out that come up that can be coachable moments that we try to focus on skill development all around, and coaching is a huge, huge part of that.
With COVID, I mean, have there been any skills you feel have maybe the order of importance has changed a little bit? I mean, has the pandemic, and I'm sure you're just starting to get back to even, you're going to be expecting more and more staff back in your group, I assume, over time. You know, what are you thinking about when it comes down to the skills that make the most sense to succeed in today?
It's a good question. And it's something that we constantly evaluate in terms of what's the most prevalent skill that somebody needs to be successful. And that changes, right? It's a year ago, I would have told you something very different than what we tell you right now. At the moment, one of the things that we really key in on is active listening, right? So it's like what was said, what we heard, and what's the next step from there? So a lot of times with younger reps in particular, they may not have seen scenarios over and over again. It may be their first time coming across something. So we really try to teach, what are your internal filters that you're receiving the information from? And then how does that affect your response? And when we're in a conversation, are you listening to understand, or are you just listening to respond to something? So I think the act of listening, to really put yourself in somebody else's shoes and understand where they're coming from, is a really, really important process of the reps as they interact with anyone, really.
And by active listening, you don't mean, you know, texting while being on a Zoom, while slacking, while doing like six other things. That's not active listening, right?
Traditionally, no.
But right, like the eyes you see, and like going to every corner of the screen while you're in a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are bombarded with different things happening in our world, and so it's, how can we simplify, slow down a little bit, and just put our attention on one task at hand? I think there's a lot to that.
Are you concerned about how many young people, sports industry is, you know, is, you must get 4 trillion resumes looking to work in sports sales at the Garden. I mean, do you have any concerns about what the last year has done to, you know, essentially sideline so many maybe seniors or potential interns or young people kind of coming out of sports management program into the sports industry? Are you concerned about that?
Well, I think when you look at the industry as a whole, overall, the industry will come back. It will be very strong again. And so I put myself in my own shoes. Actually, when I graduated college, it was right during the last recession. So I went through this myself. And the way to think about it is, if you want to work in sports, there's a reason for that. There's some connection that you have, either you played sports, or for me personally, I think sports is one of the few things where it encourages bringing everyone together. No matter where you're from, what your background is, you can all be a fan of the same team. And that live experience and the unpredictability of the outcomes, that stuff isn't going away. So I think, while the last year has been very challenging in a lot of ways, I think the future is really bright, and there's going to be more passionate people that want to be part of how the industry comes back.
Do you think does it change any part of your, maybe your re-onboarding or your retraining, you know, is there anything about that you're thinking differently about?
Well, yeah, there's definitely things that we're reimagining. And I think holistically, one of the things that has really shifted, even just in the last few years, are buying preferences, right? Like, you want something, you go online, you go to Amazon, you go to wherever, and you're 2 clicks away and you have it. All right, so the consumer side of knowing the research in advance, being able to get to the point where you're ready to make a decision on something before you interact with a human. I think as an industry, when I first started, it was, you're picking up the phone, making 100 cold calls, and that's how we sold. Now it's much more nuanced. It has to be a more personalized approach, a more bespoke approach through the sales process. So really teaching our team to be subject matter experts, to have a consultative approach, so that we're actually listening and then making a good recommendation and not just trying to sell something just to sell something.
Is selling in New York right now, is it hard?
You know, I think there's challenges in every market, and what we've focused on is looking at, okay, what are we seeing macro level? What are we seeing holistically? And then what are the trends that we see locally? And so we've seen locally that there's a lot of support. A lot of people want to come to games. There may be certain restrictions on corporations on what they can do entertainment wise and things like that. But overarchingly, we feel like there's a positive response to getting people back into somewhat of a normalcy. And live sports is one of those things that brings people back. And we're really excited about that.
What advice do you have for sales managers specifically for keeping your team together, motivated, excited? Are there any like best practices that have become a habit for you over the last year that you're going to continue?
I think there's a number of different things that we can talk through. As we think about it, to me, like engagement of the workforce, whether we are hybrid, remote, with each other in the office, engagement is a critical piece for any sales team and any team in general, right? So if we can actively foster an environment where people have clear expectations, they know what they need to do, and they can have a little more autonomy with how to get it done and how to get to that end goal, I think that creates more engagement in the team, in meetings, in bringing new ideas to the table. And one of the things that we try to work on is really giving people ownership of their results and how they're going to get to those results. So if I'm giving someone more freedom and more autonomy and more ownership of it, we see that they tend to be more engaged and take that on with a greater sense of purpose. So that's really where we try to steer to, is how are we continuing to engage our staff in meaningful ways and give them a little autonomy to do it in a way that utilizes their skills in the best way.
Are you tough as a manager? Do you feel like toughness works? Do you feel like compassion works? What is the right balance for feedback when you can't take your team out to lunch, can't take them out for a drink anymore? I know you're a guy who'd probably be out, you know, for happy hours with your team and your sales force, and those moments are so important. Yeah. You know,
So when we look at, when I think about feedback, right, to me, it starts with setting the right expectations. So if my team knows that I genuinely care about their success, and when they first join the team, we're going to sit down. And I mean, as you know, through sports, there's career opportunities are all over the place, right? Like it may be you work with one team and then you work with another team. And I'm an example of that myself, where you may have aspirations to be in a different role in a different market. So when we first sit down and understand what your career goals are, we start from that place of how can I help you achieve what you want out of your career? And then we set the expectation that the feedback that I'm going to give you is to help you develop your skills to get you to where you want to go. So if we have a good expectation and then go into, well, how do you like to receive feedback? Because each person's different. Not everybody receives feedback the same way. Not everybody wants to receive feedback the same way. So I think it really is important to start with setting the expectation the right way with each person and how they best respond to feedback, and then carry that in the lens of how is this going to help you where you want to go in your career.
Got one final question for you, and it comes down to not so much how you're selling inventory at the Garden, but how you're selling a candidate to come play for you at MSG on your team. You know, how do you sell someone to come work with you at the Garden?
So I think there's a lot of great things that the Garden has that attracts people naturally to us, right? So thankfully we don't have to do a lot of selling in that regard. But I think in terms of how we differentiate against other teams, we have the Knicks, the Rangers, the concerts, the events, Radio City, like all of these different things that are under our umbrella that a younger rep gets exposed to so many different things than just working for one specific team selling one or two products. So I think that naturally lends people to say, oh, wow, that's interesting. It's more than just I'm selling a season ticket for one team. So I think that's really where we talk to the breadth of experiences that you get working at the Garden and so many different areas of the business that you get exposed to.
Totally. Brendan, thanks for taking time, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Sam. It's been great.
Ton of big takeaways from this podcast with Brendan Long. Coaching matters. I mean, you know, who would have thought? Well, I think hopefully if you got this far, you think that too. But Brendan said coaching matters. It's an ongoing thing. One of my big takeaways, again, someone in a role like Brendan, who's responsible for not just finding new talent, onboarding and developing young people and veteran sellers into future roles. Really powerful that Brendan's talking about coaching and making it an important part of what he does. And it should be an important part of every organization in the future of work. He also said engagement is a critical piece for any team. We know, especially today, that getting workers to want to come to work, to want to play for us, to want to be fired up is really important. And the last thing I had from Brendan was he said, everybody is different. Not everyone receives feedback the same way, which is a testament to Brendan's perspective on thinking about every day how you better connect with every player on your team. Really important for managers out there and future managers to understand that coaching motion of connecting with everybody on your team. So thanks, Brendan, for joining us for this episode and having the conversation. We're going to be talking to a ton of folks as we continue to dig into the future of work. Now, back to work.